Right, put your honest hat on. Are you as a parent feeling overwhelmed? Maybe not good enough as a parent? Maybe you're always questioning yourself if you're doing enough, questioning if your children are happy, you're doing the right things, are they hitting those milestones? That comparison can be a killer. Joining us now is Montessori educator, parenting mentor and author Charlotte Audrey from Enriching Environments. And when we were just chatting off air, you were saying you'd like to talk about what you're feeling and what you're getting from other parents in the community. Is that sense of overwhelm pretty real right now?
Hi, Helen. Yes, it really is. And all of my work actually is based on my own experience and really feeling into that overwhelm, understanding it, learning to manage it with my two little ones. And I'm a single mum as well, so that plays another little element into it. And really, what's interesting for me is that there was a Forbes study done last year, 2022, which showed that 70% of working parents are concerned about their child's development in some way. And
that's,
we think,
huge.
70% is a lot. That was a US study, but I'd be prepared to bet that it's probably the same here. And 70% are worried about some area of their child's development, physical, cognitive, language, emotional, social, mm-hmm. all of the normal ones. So that's a call to action for companies, I think, for organisations to offer parenting support as part of a corporate wellness programme. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I do. But also that's a call to us. And when do we know that we're enough? When do we know that we're good enough? What is this benchmark? Mm-hmm. And Instagram, for all the wonders of it, it is a really horrid place to go when we're not feeling good in ourselves, when we've shouted, when we have an imperfect house, when we're not saying the right things as per the parenting script. You know, that's when we can really beat ourselves up, and that's not a very helpful place to be in at all.
I mean, I'm just nodding along. and I'm lucky enough to really enjoy my job. Mm. There are an awful lot of people who, when they're at work, they're not enjoying it. And they're thinking, I'd rather be with the kids. And then when they're at home with the kids, they're thinking, I should be thinking about work. I've got things to do. And then you end up feeling torn and stressed and unproductive and overwhelmed and not good enough. Now, sometimes these feelings can be quite useful because they can be a bit of a signal that maybe there needs to be a change. However, I'd say for the most part, they don't particularly serve us very well. What are some of the signs that perhaps these ideas of guilt and overwhelm and not good enough are maybe taking us down a slippery slope?
I think speaking from my own experience was when I realised I wasn't enjoying being with my children as much as I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I was then thinking about the next thing I was going to be late for, I wasn't organised for. And that was my red flag of going, actually, this is a really precious time. And if it's only 30 minutes a day, what we do know, all the research shows that quality rather than quantity is really important when we are with children and particularly young children. So if it's 30 minutes a day, then it's 30 minutes a day. And coming out of that energy of beating ourselves up about what we are or we're not doing, focusing on being present in the moment. And that's the really hard thing, because that goes deep into our own inner work, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And that calls us to put other things aside, all the millions of things on our to-do list, and be present. So I think one piece of it is knowing ourselves and understanding ourselves and being really compassionate.
Charlotte Audrey, she's joining us today, as we said, Montessori educator from Enriching Environments. A message from Tina here saying, your kids don't want a perfect mum, they want a happy mum. Does your guest agree?
Absolutely. They definitely don't need a perfect mum. And actually, what's a perfect mum? And also the focus also on happiness can also lead us down a wrong track as well. I completely agree with the energy that Tina was bringing there. However, also, if we focus on that we are happy and positive with our children the whole time, that's not a reflection of life. So again, I like to say, if we treat ourselves as sacred as our child's first teacher, not for pressure, but actually, what does it mean to be sacred? We love the flaws, the gifts of something that's sacred, and the flaws of something that's sacred. So there are going to be moments of dysregulation of our children and us, and there's going to be beautiful connective moments when we're just having dinner together or snuggling up with the story or being on the beach and crashing in the waves. But all of those bits are sacred, and children really learn through, we're modeling conflict resolution when we, the repair is so much better. The repair is so much more important than those moments where we do fall off from who we really want to be.
And that's inevitable. That is that is life. It would be, I think, a bit creepy if you were this always smiling, always happy parent. It's not setting yourself up, well, it's not setting your kids up for anything realistic in the real world, which I do urge you to go and check out on Instagram, by the way. Some brilliant resources and ideas with Montessori kind of front and centre, which we're going to come on to. But I wanted to read out a message that we've had on 4001, Charlotte, no name on it, saying, I spend my whole work day feeling like a bad mum when he's in nursery. And then when he goes to bed, I'm the same. I feel guilty about working full time. To drop a day would mean a loss in income, and I've got some debt I need to pay off. I just constantly analyse everything I do as a parent, even though I love my son more than anything in this world. I'm going to get the professional take from you in a minute, Charlotte, but I just want to say, as another parent, the fact that you are worrying about this so much means you are an amazing, amazing mum. Is that a fair comment?
Yes, absolutely a fair comment.
What advice would you give to anyone who is really struggling with that guilt?
Firstly, thank you very much for your vulnerable message, whoever sent that through. And secondly, I want to give you a great big hug, and I want you to give yourself a great big hug. Just literally wrap your arms around yourself and give yourself a great big hug, because parenting is the hardest job in the world, hey? We haven't had any previous training of it. Mm-hmm. It's on the job, on the spot training as you go.
The money's terrible.
Every money, yeah. The little people, they don't come with a manual. If you have more than one child, then everyone's different. Every child is different. And really, this is when we come into our deep work of being good enough, our own values, our own worthiness. And that is something which actually hasn't got anything to do with parenting. It filters into every single area of our lives. And it feels like, with all the work I do with clients, that that is the main thing that we end up working on. And we, of course, there's techniques and breathing and journaling. There's lots and lots of, I use the path of embodiment to help parents and educators connect to themselves, to really think with their bodies, not with their brains, because we're always in our heads, these repetitive thoughts over and over again. I never remember the exact figure, but it's either 95 or 96% of our thoughts every day are repetitive. So we're stuck in our heads. Come into our bodies. What are we really, really feeling? When we feel anxiety, where is that in our body? Is it in our chest? Is it in our tummy? What color is it? And then it's fun, because with our children, then that's a connective moment. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling angry. Let's shake it out. Let's do helicopter arms. Let's take it and do a visualization and throw it away, throw it into the sea when we're at the beach. So these really simple techniques are more of not trying to push away that overwhelm. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge it. Welcome it in. When you're at work, put a hand, put one hand on your heart and say, yeah, I feel really overwhelmed. I've got a lot on my plate, mm-hmm. and this doesn't feel like it's getting any easier. And often that's what self-compassion is honoring where we are in that moment. That, again, coming back to sacredness, that's a part of sacredness. What it is, what it is right now. And we all have seasons of our life that feel utterly overwhelming. And we feel this sense of, you know, then we question, is this the right path? Is this the right country? Is this the right job? All of this. Have I made the right choices? Mm-hmm. And that's part of our human experience. And allowing us to be compassionate enough to say, yeah, this is a lot. And I'm going to write that in my journal. I'm going to give myself a hug. I'm going to shake it out. And doing these is cultivating them as daily practices, so that instead of the 95, 96% negativity, we find the right tweak for us to just release a tiny bit of that energy. Maybe we can only feel better for 10 minutes a day. Maybe this mum can only find 10 minutes a day. But if we practice that muscle of like cultivating that self-compassion, radical self-compassion is what I call it, then we can feel better over time. Mm-hmm. We can extend it and extend it. And these tiny wins are really, really important to help us come back into our bodies, to feel to feel better. Really, that's what we want, because our little person, this little boy in nursery that the mum mentioned, he is the center of her world and she is the center of his world. He loves her on a biological level more than anything. Every cell in his body is primed. I'm going to make everyone cry now. Every cell in his body is primed for attachment and connection to her. He lived in her tummy for 9 months if he went full term before, you know, and then the eggs are in our bodies all of our lives, and then our mothers and our grandmothers. I mean, that's mind-blowing, isn't it, when we get into that? So every cell in his body is primed to know her and to connect with her and to love her. That's not going to change.
Thank you. Message here again, no name, and it's absolutely fine whether you're getting in touch with Charlotte now or Scott after 4 o'clock for our legal clinic, saying the most overwhelming part for me is keeping the balance between two worlds. Raising a special child and a neurotypical sibling, it's like a roller coaster ride and way too emotional. I mean, that's huge. It really is, you know, trying to be everything to very different children. Charlotte, I wanted to ask you a little bit, because this is such an area of expertise for you, about Montessori, and perhaps how some of the techniques or insights from that education system can perhaps help in our sense of parental overwhelm. Are there any kind of actionable things that we can be doing, trying, introducing into our homes or our families that you recommend? Lots.
Yes. My brain is whirring, thinking, okay, where do I start? Montessori works on universal principles that all of us as humans have these tendencies, regardless of race, culture, socioeconomic group, that we all want to belong to a community. We all have a tendency. We want to belong to a community. We want to make a difference. We all want to grow personal growth. We want to feel this deep sense of validation and belonging. So we can cultivate that with children, and every human's the same. And it's going to look different in every age group. So for your toddler, that means giving them a spray bottle of water and a cloth so that they can wash a window. And of course, when they're a toddler, that isn't much help. But when you've got a 7-year-old who can wash the windows, that's really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. And for my children who are, and now my daughter Olivia is almost 9 and my son 6.5. Because of our setup at home, we live in a little one-bedroom apartment and we've got IKEA loft beds, and it's all a bit chaotic and messy, as everyone's home should be, I would like to add.
We can talk show homes after half past, but right now it's about family life.
Exactly. And part of the work that I do with them is involve them in everything. Children want to do what's needed to be part of a community. They want to contribute. They want to be able to make a difference. And children get so much self-confidence from making a difference. Mm-hmm. When we have our cleaning day, say on Friday afternoon, then it's what needs to be done. It's the hoovering, it's the mopping, it's the folding the laundry, changing the bed sheets. I write that on the whiteboard. Actually, my daughter Olivia writes that on the whiteboard. And then we just apportion out the task to each of us. And it doesn't look perfect. Of course, it's never going to look like a show home, but that's okay. But the sense of, firstly, if we think about academic success, the skills that they're learning from being able to do things like that are huge. And from a young age, children can help. But more importantly, in the bigger context of what it means to belong to a community, to mm-hmm. feel valued, there's no monetary value on learning how to change duvet cover, right? But the sense of being able to help and belonging and making a difference. Yeah. A capable, compassionate contributor is what we want to raise. And simple things like helping with the load of a home. A child over the age of 6 is more than capable of doing that. We just need to often let go of our expectations of what it's going to look like.
Well said indeed. You consult with families, work with parents and educators. It's Enriching Environments on Instagram. If you want to send me the word child, I'd be very happy to send you links. You can catch up with Charlotte. And as I said, her Instagram is a great resource for all sorts of amazing ideas. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Such an important topic. And everyone listening today, trust me, you are doing far better than you think you are.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With House and House, 10 years of unlocking opportunities in Dubai real estate.
Charlie Bannon, sales director at House & House, live in the studios. We talk about how to find a good property agent. I mean, I've got one in the studio, but for those who aren't as fortunate as me, we're going to be breaking it down. Now, Charlie, you've been in Dubai 7 years. I've been here coming up to 17 years and have lived in, I don't even want to work it out. Let's just say a lot of places. What has changed, though, in that time is the quality of care. Because when I first moved here and I was looking myself, would be a case of, hi, I found this, I've seen this place advertised. Are you the agent? Yeah. All right, great. When can I come and have a look? Oh, it's open, just go around. And then I'll take my commission. I was like, I don't really feel like you've been in my corner there, sir or madam. How do you feel like the current landscape is, the standards of property agents in Dubai now, Charlie?